Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Hi, thanks for joining me for today's episode, which is all about believing in yourself and whether we've actually got the ability to achieve more than we think possible. And to discuss this subject with me, I've got Paula Cohen, and she is an athlete and a business coach now. And we talk about some of the sports psychology stuff that she used when she was an athlete, and you know, things around having faith in yourself and your abilities, and you know, the power of your mindset actually, in terms of being able to achieve more than you think possible. And Paula has so much experience and insight to share, which she does in today's episode. It's packed full of really helpful hints and tips that you can use practically for your own kind of take on your own business. So let's get on with it. So welcome to today's podcast. I'm really pleased to have with me Paula Cohen today, and we're talking about believing in yourself and the ability to achieve more than you think possible. And one of the reasons why I'm really pleased to have Paula with us today is that she's actually an athlete. That was her first passion, and has represented Great Britain and England internationally, I think, Paula. But also, as well as that, she's also a business lady in her own right. And I think I'll just get Paula to do a very brief intro, and then we'll get chatting on to the real kind of core of today's episode.
Fabulous. Thank you, Julia. And thank you, first off, for the invite. It's been, really, really lovely to be invited. So, yes, I am. It just feels like a few million years ago now that I was a competitive athlete. So I think I got involved from about the age of 10, just got gradually more and more obsessed. So, yes, I competed, you know, pretty much every weekend through till I was about 26. And it was interesting that I spoke to a consultant towards the end of my athletics career. I started to have some challenges with my feet, creating issues through my calves and my back and what have you. And the consultant actually said to me that my success had been in spite of my legs, not because of them, which I thought was quite entertaining. So I did the sort of boring, sensible thing of just taking a proper job while I was an athlete, because I didn't want work to interfere with my athletics. And so I took a job in a bank, somehow then found myself there for 19 years. And I think I'd say I was probably stuck in that corporate trap, feeling that I didn't necessarily have transferable skills, you know, steady salary, share option payments, staff mortgage rates and things like that. But I knew that I just wasn't really fulfilled by it. Mm-hmm. I knew that the organisation had changed in a way that it didn't really match my personal values. And I really wanted to do something more personal, more individual, more sort of true to me. So when I got the opportunity of redundancy, my gut reaction was, I do something quite unique in the bank now, so I can definitely stay, followed by the reaction of, are you mad? You've been wanting to leave for ages. But it was interesting how your kind of gut reaction takes you to that safe place.
Yeah.
And really makes you think about the safe option, the steady option, and reducing the risk. Mm. And then when you think about what's truly in your heart, it's actually, you know, it's following your own path and doing things that are more exciting, more individual, but probably do feel a bit more risky.
Yeah.
So I took redundancy from the bank in September 2008. When the world, financial world, was all still very rosy. I actually bought a business coaching franchise. So when I looked at what I wanted to do, I'd always had this idea that I would run my own business one day, but had no idea really doing what. I'd never even thought about what my business would be, just this idea, this magical idea that I would have a business. So when it came to taking redundancy, it was literally like somebody had taken the lid off the box that I had been in. And all of a sudden it was like you stick your head out of a box and you're not just seeing these four walls anymore. The future and the options are just massive. So then it was the whole thought process about, well, what am I going to do? And so I loved the idea of a business. What I knew I didn't want to do was to go back into the corporates. So by the time I left the bank, I was doing lots of training and development. But I didn't want to go back training and developing the corporates. So I came across the idea of franchising, which I really loved because it's almost like a halfway house.
Yeah.
So the stats say that franchising is the much safer option than creating your own business, and that you've got a much better success rates. Plus the fact that you get a brand, you get your website, your business cards and all that kind of stuff done for you to start with. So it's a bit of an easier route in. So I bought a business coaching franchise, kicked that off in November 2008, by which time the recession had walloped us. So it was a very interesting first, well, to be honest, couple of years. So now I'm 12 years down the line. My franchise license was 7 years. And then so after those 7 years, I've then branched out. And it's now very much my business, done my way, with my brand, my ideas, my principles. Big reflection of me. So that's a long-winded way of giving you my little update, isn't it?
No, it's fantastic, actually, because there's quite a few points within there that are really, really relevant.
Yeah, I think some of it's a little bit about time, and allowing yourself the time to genuinely think.
Yeah.
Fighting the emotion, because I think your inner emotion is always going to be about keeping you safe. Thinking about, you know, the lowest risk option and the classic better the devil you know stuff. But that isn't necessarily what it is that you truly want to do in your heart of hearts. So I think there's a bit of a battle in terms of head and heart.
Mm.
And avoiding that instant desire for safety and really allowing yourself to think about what it is that you truly want. And thinking through, you know, to a few years ahead, to be thinking about, you know, what do you want life to truly look like and feel like?
Mm.
And thinking about what is it about your current situation that you don't love?
Yeah.
And how do you change that? As you say, it is very much about believing in yourself and believing about what's possible. So I would also be looking at, you know, who else is out there? What are people doing? What examples and stories are there?
Yeah.
And focus very much on success. And I think something I have very much learned over the years is that what you focus on will just become bigger and bigger and bigger for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you focus on the risks, if you focus on the potential problems, that'll be all you'll see. Whereas if you focus on the possibilities, and I know it probably sounds really flippant, but the more that you focus on possibilities and focus on the things that you want and the things that might go right, the more of that stuff that you can actually create for yourself.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's all good. I guess the other thing for me, obviously, is that having that athletics background, that taught me about competition. And it taught me very much about kind of putting yourself on the line.
Yeah.
I think what it also shows you is that it's okay to do all the training and all the hard work and all the, you know, the donkey work. But if you don't actually then totally commit when it comes to race day, then it's all for nothing.
Wow.
And I think it's picking those moments for ourselves in our life and in our businesses where you kind of realize this is the moment I need to step up. This is the competitive moment. You know, this is that moment of peak performance. And I need to believe in myself. I need to step up. I need to trust in my skills, trust in my abilities, trust in all the work that you put in, you know, trust everything that you've developed over the years, and believe that you can make it work.
It's really hard to do in practice, isn't it? So, I mean, I'm sort of nodding along to everything you're saying. I can really, a lot of it resonates with me. But having that kind of faith in yourself and your own abilities, where perhaps your mindset might be telling you something different, it's really hard. And I expect your athletics background probably helped you in, I mean, do you almost have to train your own brain or what worked for you?
It's interesting because when I was in athletics, they were just discovering sports psychology. That's how many centuries ago it was.
You weren't telling that.
You edit that out. they were just discovering sports psychology, and I remember going on a couple of specific, there were women in sport psychology weekends.
Okay.
Um, And it was fascinating because we did do some of that classic stuff about visualizing yourself as an animal and, you know, picturing yourself coming to the end of the race. But that got me, that was the first insight I had around how the mind really does influence us. Mm. But also starting to understand how we can use the mind to help us rather than hinder us. And that if you play to the fear, then the fear, as I say, just grows and grows. Whereas there's a huge amount of evidence, it's really fascinating, about the power of visualization. Okay. And the fact that our subconscious brain doesn't understand the difference between fantasy and reality. Right. So if you visualize something going really well and really positively, your subconscious brain actually becomes to believe that that's a reality. So that will then help you generate really good results. Yeah. So it is fascinating how the mind can truly help you.
I'm going to try and put that into practice, actually. I love that. That surely is something that most of us can do on a regular basis, and almost, in my words, I would say I give myself a good talking to sometimes. Yeah. when things aren't going so well or whatever, and sort of sometimes feel I need to have a word with myself. Well, if in those times I'm having a word with myself, I'm building a vision of success, then perhaps that's something we could all do.
Yes, there's a fantastic little exercise that somebody taught me a few years ago, and it's ridiculously simple, but it is a great way actually giving yourself that talking to and almost giving yourself a little reset. Because I think one thing that people find when they're in the early days of business is that procrastination can become an art form. You know, the kind of typical faffing and getting around to things and thinking about it rather than getting cracking with stuff. When the self-doubt starts to creep in, and that can be quite a challenge to hold it off when it feels like it's starting to grow. So this little exercise, which you can do in 2 minutes, somebody taught me a few years ago, brilliant for that. And you basically just ask yourself these questions of, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? And then you ask yourself, what should I be thinking? What should I be feeling? What should I be doing? And you'll come up with simple things like, what am I thinking? I'm thinking that this is never going to work, that I haven't got the skills, I haven't got the abilities, I'm being a nutter, blah, 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 blah. What am I feeling? I'm feeling worried, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling frightened. What am I doing? I'm doing nothing. I'm sort of stuck here in this spiral doing nothing. What should I be thinking? I should be thinking about all the things that I've done over the years. I should be thinking about my skills, my abilities, my network, how talented I am, how brilliant I am. What should I be feeling? I should be feeling excited. I should be feeling motivated. I should be feeling determined. I should be feeling, you know, excited by taking action. What should I be doing? I should be doing 1, 2, 3. Right, let's get cracking. And it's really fascinating how in just a couple of minutes, you can massively talk yourself around and give yourself, like you say, that talking to and really get yourself focused on what you want to do and sort of snap out of the tricky
moment. I really like that because it's all too easy to kind of dwell on things that they almost start eating away. You've got this little voice perhaps eating away at your self-confidence. And the thing is, if you stop and think logically, most people have achieved a lot and can use their achievements. And there's a reason why people are thinking of setting up whatever business they're thinking of doing. It's not normally some ridiculous idea that's just come to them in the middle of the night that they're now just doing. You know, there is normally a sensible background to it. So I think I can really... those questions, I think we know the answers to them. So when we're in that piece around, oh, I can never do it, I'm not gonna be successful, you know the answers to the should questions. Yes, what should you be thinking, feeling, and doing? So we know those, but somehow we just let this irrational side take over, don't we?
Yeah.
So that brings me on to something I've been thinking about, whether our limitations are real or are they just our perceptions? And perhaps they're just our perceptions from what we've just talked about.
Again, flippant, but I would say our limitations are more often than not things that we can address. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we've got limitations around skills or knowledge or particular abilities, then we can go out and find what we need to find.
Yeah.
And actually these days, that's never, ever been more possible. YouTube is a phenomenal resource.
Yeah.
Whether you want to start to think about what kind of company you create, you know, what's the difference between a limited company or a sole trader, YouTube will give you a stack of videos about it. If you want to find out how to use Instagram, if you want to find out about cloud accounting software, if you want to find out how to be a good networker, you know, anything you want to kind of learn or find out about, you can find out these days via YouTube or via some brilliant Facebook groups and things like that. So if it's a limitation in terms of knowledge, skill, that kind of thing, there's so much stuff out there we can access for free these days to help with all of that. So that just brings us back then to our perceived limitations, the limitations that we create for ourselves in our minds. Mm. And one of the things that I often suggest people do in that point, if they're having those kind of doubts or asking themselves the questions, you know, can I do it? Those, am I cut out for it? Those sort of big questions. Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I being crazy here? Is just think back to when you were younger. Think back to when you were a kid and there was something, your obsessive hobby, mm-hmm. and think about how unbelievably dedicated and obsessed you would have been with that hobby, how you would have pushed aside absolutely everything else to do that thing, you know, to play that game, to finish that painting, to excel in that sport, whatever it was. And we almost leave that behind a little bit. We build up our sort of adult barriers and, you know, being sensible, and we lose touch a little bit with that uber focused individual within us, but it's still there. And we can use that to help us build a business. You know, if we tap back into that sort of obsessive dedication that we had as kids, we can achieve anything.
Yeah, and I think as kids, certainly when I was younger, the idea that anything would be impossible didn't really enter my head. And I'm talking about really young kids, but before you sort of had a chance to be spoiled by the world, if you like. But you know, you just have that kind of confidence, and because you've not had any knocks as that young person, then you've got no reason to believe that anything is not possible. So if we can tap back into that somehow, then we can give ourselves the boost that we sometimes need.
Yeah, and I think what we tend to do as we mature and grow a little older is we have this real habit of hanging on to the things that didn't quite go well.
Yeah.
And we forget all about the brilliant things that we've done.
Yeah.
So when you then start to think about, can I do this? Am I cut out for it? It's interesting how easy it is to go back to, oh, well, that thing I did there didn't go brilliantly, so maybe I'm not cut out for it. But there'll be another 35 things that actually went outstandingly well that we've completely forgotten about and taken for granted.
Exactly. And no one else really focuses on those minor points or negatives that we might feel that we've let ourselves down on. I bet if you asked, you know, friends, family, colleagues, they wouldn't even really recognize that, because they those things don't last with people, but they can sometimes within ourselves, can't they?
Yeah, and I think the other thing there that you've kind of touched on is that very often what happens when we start to build a business is we become obsessed with perfection and thinking everything has to be perfect, from my website needs to be perfect, my logo needs to be perfect, my branding needs to be perfect, my pitch needs to be perfect, I need to have a perfect brochure, I need to have all this stuff that's perfect before I can do anything. And the crazy thing is, perfect actually isn't that appealing. If you think about people that you like, organizations that you like, products and things that you like, we love reality and we love humanity. Mm. And perfection is almost so aloof and unachievable that it's not that attractive. But people really like, you know, people that are genuine, normal, honest, down to earth. So we don't need to be perfect. We actually just need to kind of be ourselves and trust that we are what people will actually want to buy and want to, you know, invest in.
I love that. I think I might steal that phrase, that perfect is actually not that attractive a position to be in.
It doesn't resonate with us. We don't tend to connect with perfect. Because, face it, which of us think we're perfect?
Yeah, so you know, that's so true.
it's somebody else. It's often a distance, you know, it's kind of unattainable.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody who is a little rough around the edges and more human and more natural, we can totally connect with.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's so true. And if you think about kind of all the different online communities that we're part of these days, and, you know, there's so much reality TV of different shapes and forms, you know, whether it's Come Dine With Me or Britain's Got Talent or whatever it might be, we love to see the real people behind all that. You don't want that perfect persona. I'm going with this. I love it, Paula. So talking a little bit about you set up your business at the height of the last recession or your the first part to your business, and
yes.
I think you'll then have a lot of direct experience that's going to be really relevant to our listeners, because I mean the world as it currently is certainly challenging to say the least. And my perception from when you set up your business is if you came through those challenges then you're yes. probably in a really good position for whatever is thrown at you in the future. But I mean you tell me that was your experience, so you know far better than I do what it was actually like.
I mean, I'll be completely honest about it, and for a long time I wasn't necessarily completely honest about it, because I felt that, you know, as a business coach, it wouldn't do to admit that I struggled to get my business off the ground, because I felt people would judge me because of that, which is that classic feeling like I need to be perfect.
Mm.
And the crazy thing is that when you actually say to people, do you know what, it hasn't been a great day or week or year, again, people really connect with that.
Mm.
I started my business exactly at the moment that the recession was really kicking in.
Yeah.
And it was, that situation was quite different to now, mm-hmm. in that that was very much a financial-based recession. And we were getting really strong messages from mainstream media that was, businesses are going to struggle, businesses need to batten down hatches, businesses need to control what they're spending and be really cautious and really conservative.
Mm.
And the media was massively feeding us with this message about how hard things were going to be. And that had a huge knock-on effect. And businesses left, right and centre were slashing what they were spending. And of course, a business coach at that point is a luxury that, yeah. that most people felt didn't fit with the economy at that point. And to be fair, I was thoroughly winging it and still working a lot of it out and really not that sure what I was doing. I was terrible at sales. So I came in with this big marketing budget, burnt through it all really quickly. Yes.
I think anyone setting up is winging it at first, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I challenge anyone who says they're not, quite frankly. it was really tough to get the business off the ground. It took me about 6 months to find my first client, although I did then find three in about 3 weeks, which was amazing. Thought I'd made it at that point. But the first couple of years were really, really tough. And, you know, much as at the time I would definitely have loved that to be different, with the joy of hindsight, that makes me so much better at what I do. Because when I'm talking to people who are struggling in the business, who do have financial worries, you know, who worry about paying the bills, I've been there and I know exactly what that feels like. I'm not just sort of giving them platitudes. So part of me thinks that it was the perfect grounding for me in what I do. It was really, really challenging and it wasn't that enjoyable at the time. But with the beauty of hindsight, it's actually a really positive experience. I think what I would say to anybody in terms of the setup now is what we're going through is totally different, and I've never seen anything like this. I don't think this is going to have the same impact in terms of a whitewash right across the board of the economy.
Right.
So I think we need to be a little thoughtful in terms of which area of business we go into, and just make sure that the customers that we want to work with are in a robust area of the economy.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, there are still massive opportunities out there right now. There are some businesses who've hugely thrived this year, and that's not just people, you know, selling PPE or things like that. There are certain industries and certain services which have rocketed this year, but only if people are proactive. You know, there are opportunities there as long as you are proactive. You know, keep going with marketing, keep going with the networking, keep building your connections, keep telling people what you do, making sure they know how they can come and buy it, and the opportunities are there.
Yeah, and I think that's so true, isn't it? Because, you know, sometimes with when we kind of see advertising or whatever, it doesn't necessarily go in first time, or you might see it and think, yeah, oh, I'll come back to that. So that constant messaging, I think, is really, really important for any business these days, because there is so much noise we receive on a day-to-day basis, whether, whether it's online or on the TV or whatever. So I think if you're not present, you can't stand out, can you?
And one of the biggest tips I would give to anybody starting a business is consistency, because consistency is something, it's one of the best things that you can do to build trust.
Yeah.
Because consistency, and that's anything from consistency in turning up to regular network meetings or posting consistently on social media or joining groups or something like that on social media and posting in there consistently. Anything that you do consistently gives people, sort of subliminally, the message that you are trustworthy, that you're dependable, that you stick around, that you're professional, that you follow up. So that consistency is a really, really good way to generate trust within your potential customers. So for anybody who kind of starts and then thinks, I'm not building enough traction, I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing, I would say just stick to your path. Stick to it, keep going. You never know who's watching. There's very often this element of, I'm not getting loads of traction, so it's not working, but you just don't know who's watching, who's checking you out, and who's building enough confidence to then come along and want to be your customer.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, there's a newsletter that I subscribe to. It's completely not related to anything we're talking about, but they did a blog piece about when the newsletter was set up, and they thought people weren't really reading it, and they made a commitment to themselves to keep doing this newsletter every week for at least a year, and just to see, because, you know, they thought about giving up quite early on because they thought it wasn't working. But actually, there were people receiving that newsletter who then have then gone on to be clients, and they've kind of got the business to work for them. And you're right, you don't know who's seeing your things, and just because you're not getting an immediate reaction doesn't mean it's not going through.
No, and I think there's a phenomenon which is called the zero moment of truth, and there's loads of stuff on search engines. If you go and search on there, you'll look at Mr. Google and things like that. So this zero moment of truth is, that's the point at which a customer is ready to buy from us.
Yeah.
But what you find out with that is that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, the whole process was different. So our customer would take a little bit of a look at us, then they would get in touch, and then there'd be meetings and conversations and persuasion and things like that. Whereas what happens now is we're in such an online world that people actually like to play their cards close to their chest. They like to follow you, they like to track you, they like to read lots of your stuff, they like to check you out, and they will do that quietly without giving the game away, because they don't want you to know that they're a prospect. They just want to keep checking you out, building their confidence, and then just suddenly out of the blue they will spring through and say, I've been reading your stuff for ages, I would really love to have a chat. And when they do that, they're almost certain to buy. So when they come through, they're a really, really hot prospect, but it just might be a little bit slower to generate prospects than it was a few years ago.
Yeah, that's really true. So I kind of, for this podcast that we're talking on today, I've got kind of a mental list of potential speakers, and you had no idea that you were on that list till I approached you, and it must have been a bit kind of weird for you, but for me, I had done my research. I knew that I wanted you to come on, and so I had already gone through that sort of checking you out stuff. This discussion today is absolutely a demonstration of that.
Yeah.
It's building that trust, and, you know, I think a lot of it is about our getting our personalities across, kind of genuineness. And I'm sorry, I just love that whole thing about perfection is just not something we want. The more we can be genuine rather than perfect, particularly in the stuff we're putting out there.
I struggled with that for a little while, because obviously coming from a corporate background, 19 years in banking, where it's, you know, very professional and quite the professional veneer. So I struggle to find my voice, as it were, on on social media and in things like blog writing. And especially, I went through an all-girls grammar school as well. So my writing tends to be quite formal and grammatically perfect, ironically.
Wonderful.
Slightly obsessed with apostrophes in perfect places. I did actually find that quite a struggle to then translate that into bringing my personality out. I did find that what happened is the more I got in touch with my natural personality, the more people were naturally drawn to me. So I don't think that's something that you necessarily master overnight. I think we hear a lot about just be you and just be natural, and sometimes you have to work out who just be you is.
What does that mean? And especially if you've had it ingrained in you that you have to be in a certain formal way to, you know, it's that must be very difficult.
I think it's a bit of a slow process, and I think you just have to, you know, let that personality out a little bit at a time and you'll just come to find a place where you're comfortable. So don't try and force it, or that in itself will feel a bit weird. Keep trusting yourself, just keep sort of opening that door that little bit to let your personality out.
It's hard to do and hard to have that confidence to give things a go. But I often think, well, give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? You know, so I'm quite slow on some social media. So last week, I think I set up an Instagram account for the first time. I haven't done anything on it, but I'm just kind of dipping my toe in, and you know, I'll find my feet there, and I know I will. But for me, it's a strange world, and I know that's perhaps quite a low level example, but I think it's still the point is, you know, give it a go. You don't know otherwise.
There's also something there as well about what a lot of people fall into the trap of is believing they've got to kind of do everything. So it's really easy to hear people say, you know, I'm creating my business, so I need to be on LinkedIn, I need to create a Facebook page, I need to join Pinterest and Twitter and Instagram, I just made up a new one, Pinterest. And that's totally and utterly overwhelming. So my advice would always be just choose one thing and work on that consistently till you feel like you're getting good at it, then add something else in. Whereas if you just try to be all things to all people in all places, you'll probably just exhaust yourself and not do any of it very well. So just do the thing that suits you and then adds to it over time.
That's so true. And I think focusing and doing some things well, that probably goes back to your athletic side of things. I find that so interesting because I think sports people have to have that real dedication and focus. And for me, my approach to things is less focused than I would like, let's say. I find it really interesting, and I wish I could train my brain to have that focus. I don't know. I mean, this podcast shouldn't be about me. It's about our listeners. but I'm sure some of them would feel the same way. So is there anything we can do to help ourselves get that focus?
Oh, gosh. That would be another three podcasts, actually, to be honest. I think firstly, it's recognising that faffing is an absolute art form when you're building a business. I think it's somehow a skill that we develop and perfect. It's the one thing we're all perfect at, actually, is faffing. I guess the key thing for me is not to feel pressured into trying to follow other people's working patterns. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll go in and Google anything to do with time management and it'll tell you about very specific processes, stuff like the Pomodoro technique, which I think is you work for 25 minutes and then you take a 5-minute break. I think I always get my timings a bit confused. And there's loads of different setups like that. I think the key thing is understanding your own working patterns and working habits. So are you a morning person? Are you an evening person? How long does your focus naturally last? For some people, that's 20 minutes. For some people, that's 2 hours. It's rarely more than a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And what actually a lot of us do is say, right, I'm going to spend the whole day working on writing my website. And actually you get about 2 hours in and your focus is done. And then you spend the next 6 hours just fighting with yourself. Yeah. So being a bit more realistic about what you're capable of, setting yourself shorter term targets, working in bursts, but also understanding that working when you're really tired, it doesn't help. And trying to just keep going, keep going, keep going actually means that you'll just achieve less and less. So I'm also an enormous fan of taking regular breaks. And I don't just mean, I think breaks during your day are really important, but I think it's also hugely important to be taking some breaks away from work during the week and making sure that you take some regular time off. And it's easy to think that I can't afford to take that time out of the business. But as many of my clients say, their best ideas happen on the beach, because suddenly you've got thinking time and you're actually recharging the batteries. So weirdly, one of the best things you can do for your focus is work a bit less.
I can really empathise with that. And I think we've all had times where we feel like we've got to work 24/7 and we've just got to get this done. And I'm going to keep going till I get it done because I can't relax until it's done. And it's that kind of, I know that when I've forced myself to take a little bit of time out, the benefits are enormous, but it's really hard to be alive to that when you're in the middle of what feels like drowning sometimes.
Yeah, it really can. I think one of the other things I would say is that if you find yourself in that place where you just feel totally and utterly overwhelmed, where procrastination has just become a life force in itself, a lot of the books will kind of say to you, choose the most important thing or focus on the number one priority right now. And I would say, just do something. It doesn't matter what it is, but just do one thing that you can tick off your list.
Yeah.
Just that action of ticking something off will kind of snap you out of that overwhelm. And action breeds action. So just choose one thing, anything, get something done. And that's the start of your momentum right there.
It's tough to kind of stay on top of ourselves. And I think when you're setting up a business, you are by yourself working alone so much. That can be a really difficult part of it, and being resilient to that.
I think one of the key things on that is just setting yourself short-term achievable goals. Mm. And that might literally be, you know, if for instance, writing your website content is one of the things that you need to do, then just set yourself a goal to write one page or even one paragraph or something like that. Whereas the whole idea of writing the whole website is so huge that it feels overwhelming immediately. So breaking things down, short kind of bursts and really achievable targets will keep you much more focused.
That is so true. And you know, I was going to ask about how do we stop faffing and start doing, but we've kind of covered that. And I just think that's such an important thing that we need when we're setting up.
The one other big tip I would give you on that actually is to use a daily to-do list.
Okay.
Because what can happen is if you've got one big to-do list, that can just feel monumental.
Yeah.
And it makes it really difficult to decide what's my focus today, which bit of this massive list should I be working on? Whereas I would always suggest that you have a master list. So you do a brain dump and you literally get absolutely everything out of your head. Because anything that's in your head is a potential source of stress. Because your brain will constantly be firing at you, don't forget this, don't forget this, remember to do that. And it's all sort of stress and feels quite stressful. So do the brain dump, create your master list, but then from that master list, just create a daily to-do list so that every single day you're working with a list that's achievable and realistic, and you've got a chance of getting to the end of the day and being able to throw that list away.
Yes.
Now, what I would say is most people put about 2 days' work on a daily list, if not three.
We're
very demanding of ourselves and what we're capable of. But daily lists are something that can definitely help to sort of keep that overwhelm at bay and give you clarity on these are the key things I'm working on right now. Let me avoid all the other distractions and all the other things wanting to come and steal my time and attention and just get things ticked off.
And I know it's a slightly basic point, but we've talked about all the different online communities we're in and social media, etc. If we can just switch off a bit from that and give ourselves a little bit of time to do what we really need to do, I found that makes a really big difference. And I think for example, yesterday I was hardly on LinkedIn at all, and it got to the end of the day, I was like, oh, what have I missed? And so I had a look, and actually I hadn't missed a huge amount, so so it was fine. But you do sort of, if you can allow that time, it really helps.
There's also something to really be aware of, is that the psychologists tell us that it takes somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes to get to a place of deep focus, to get to the point where you're really, really focused on what you're working on. But that focus is broken as soon as you distract yourself in any way, shape or form. And the most likely distraction is a ping of a notification from social media, or a pop-up of an email, or just checking something on your mobile. And every time you do that, if you think about the fact that that potentially is then going to take you 20 to 25 minutes to get back to that place of focus.
Yeah.
You know, how many times we naturally check our phones all day, is we could easily be losing a couple of hours a day of productivity just by the semi-obsession of checking notifications.
I think
switching that off and having clear time without it is really, really good for focus.
I think one of society's big issues these days is FOMO, that fear of missing out, because we've all got it, and you know, I don't know what we think we're going to miss out on, for goodness sake, but we do, don't we?
One of my clients rebranded FOMO, which I thought was absolutely brilliant, and she called it JOMO.
Okay.
And it's the joy of missing out. So it's the joy of not actually getting sucked into all of that noise. Because like you said, you can go back and check at the end of each day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world hasn't ended because you've not been on social media for a few hours. You can easily catch up with all the key things. And you can revel in the joy of just not being sucked into it all day. The new FOMO.
it's sometimes good to miss all the different spats on social media that we see going on. But it's also a little bit about being receptive and listening to others who can really help. Yes. And I know that in your background, as going back to your sports background, you would have had to have been receptive to people who maybe were able to help you.
Yes, very much so. And in my TED talk, which I think was one of the reasons why you were stalking me, stalking a good way, of course. I talked specifically in there about a kind of incident as an athlete when myself and my coach were at loggerheads about my sprint start. And I thought he was talking rubbish. And he wasn't, sadly. But it was all about the importance of feedback. And we can so easily just get sort of absorbed in our own world and struggle for perspective as a result of that. So I think the wonderful thing these days is, much as social media can be an incredible distraction, it is also a brilliant way to start to build yourself a business community.
Yeah.
And you can start to connect with other people who are in a similar boat to you. You can pick up loads of hints and tips. You can ask for advice. You can ask people potentially to hold you accountable. You might even want to connect up with somebody who's at a similar stage of business and become accountability buddies, where you know, you're telling each other, right, this is the thing I'm going to focus on this week. And then you kind of tap back into that at the end of the week and give each other a little nudge to see how you've done. So I don't think naturally we are great at holding ourselves accountable. We are easy to distract, but we also have this habit of putting everybody else and everything else ahead of us. And that includes the things that we tell ourselves we want to work on in our business. So it's very easy to push those things to the side because something else more urgent or more important has arrived. So finding a way to build in that degree of accountability is something else that I think would really help lots of people. I think anybody who starts a business undoubtedly takes a leap of faith in themselves.
But
I think we're all worthy of that. So I think, as I said earlier on, just keep reminding yourself of all the things that you have achieved and all the things that you have done in your life and the skills that you've developed and the knowledge that you've acquired. Because there'll be so much stuff in there which will be telling you exactly why this is the right thing to do.
In terms of kind of overcoming limitations, what would be your kind of final top tips, if you like? I know we've talked about probably most of them.
Yes, I guess my final top tips would be to build the plan, believe in the plan, and stick to the plan. And that sort of, so then you focus on the plan and the action and the possibilities, and you don't deviate quite so much into the doubt and the fear and the niggles and the worries. So yeah, action and decent planning will kind of overcome all those worries and doubts in the long term.
Yeah, I like that actually. The building and the plan and belief in the plan will then lead to the actions, as you say. I think that's great. Well, I don't know about you, but time's absolutely flown for me. And
in my personal experience, I think people are capable of so much more than they believe and give themselves credit for. So yeah, take the leap of faith and go for it.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Paula. It's been absolutely wonderful to talk to you, and hopefully we'll catch up again sometime.
Brilliant. Thank you again, Julie, for the invite. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.